Fantastic. Thank you so much. The lives God changes. And we've heard about that already in our meeting, that God meets with people and God changes lives. We see that very much here in Acts 10. I'll be looking at the whole chapter, so it might be good for you to have it open in front of you. And as we think about the lives God changes, the question obviously comes to us. How does God want to impact us? How does God want us to change ourselves? I'm going to ask Levi to come forward. It's wonderful that Levi has written a book, and as I've read this through, I thought, what a good introduction to what I want to say today the book is, and it would be good for Levi to talk about it. So, what's the book about? Yeah, that's a good idea.
So the book is kind of like in two levels. So the surface level is about how I ended up playing ultimate frisbee for the Japan national team. That's really just the kind of the hook to try to get, especially
the young people. Now I'm on. Look at that. So me playing frisbee in Japan, it's a way to hopefully encourage young adults and students and stuff to kind of to read a book, maybe people who wouldn't normally read. Because the book really is about God's grace, how God's grace calls us to his mission and how his grace equips us for his mission.
It's a fantastic read. I started to read it round at Heather and Greg's when we were at that social time, really, and everybody was chatting away, and I was just being very unsociable reading through the book. Tremendous stuff. How would you like to challenge us through it? What's the challenge for us here?
Yeah, I hope there's kind of a challenge with kind of a flip side of encouragement. The challenge, I think, for people who read the book, is that so following Jesus, for all of us, whatever we end up following Jesus, entails a sacrifice. There are areas in our lives where we do need to change. But the encouragement is that actually Jesus is worth it. Whatever he calls us to do, whatever he sends us, he is worth following. And then which one was that? That's the encouragement. The challenge is, or whatever, there's stuff in the book. The other side of that, though, is that actually there are parts of us that we don't need to change, and there's parts of us that Jesus wants to use for his mission. And so I guess that's where, for me, the frisbee comes in, and there's stuff in the book about how I had this idea of what it meant to be a missionary, and I presumed that was all the stuff I'd have to give up to make disciples of Jesus, and yet actually it's the very stuff about me that makes me kind of a bit odd and quirky that Jesus is using to share his love through me in Japan.
Absolutely fantastic. And only £2. Is that really right?
Online, £2.99. Today, £2.
How do you manage that?
I mean,
tremendous.
It's crazy, isn't it? But there we go.
And you just happen to have some books.
What a coincidence, eh? Yes. What a coincidence. Today, I had a pile of books.
Anybody would think it was planned.
Anybody would.
Fantastic. So I really, really want to encourage you. It's absolutely great. I will be reading a few sentences from the book later on, but it's just tremendous stuff. And it does really connect with what we are thinking about this morning from Acts chapter 10, because what we see is someone who is going through a cultural barrier for the gospel, someone who is reaching out, someone who is getting out of their comfort zone to share Jesus. And there's joy and excitement and encouragement. And all of that connects, I think, with what Levi has written. And all of this connects, I think, as well with what God wants to do in our lives. So a few things from Acts chapter 10, and again, I'd encourage you, if you're able, just to have this open in front of you. Three causes for rejoicing. First of all, the gospel is for us. So the gospel is for us. The gospel is for you and for me. In many ways, this is the birthday of the Gentile Church. We talk about Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, as the birthday of the church. It's when, in some sense, the church came into being. And here we see that the good news, the gospel, is for Gentiles too. It is for non-Jews. And it's so exciting, and it's a cause of rejoicing for so many of us. God has clearly been working in Cornelius's life. We see that especially in verse 2. God has been touching his life. God has been drawing him. He is known as a God's fearer. He is someone who is intensely seeking the one true God. And yet, nevertheless, he is a non-Jew. And up to this point, he is so unusual. The gospel, the good news, is for Jewish people. Acts 2, it is Jewish people. Yes, people from all over the known world, but Jewish people who have come and who've heard and who have received. And now something exciting and new and fresh is happening. He is going to receive forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus. And not just Cornelius. Not just this one man, but all of his household who hear. And we see that the gospel is for us. The gospel is for all. The Holy Spirit is for all. We just remind ourselves of the moment when this happened. Peter finishes what he's saying. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through the name of Jesus. And actually, it's not where he wanted to finish, but God breaks in by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit comes on all who hear the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And so there's something new, there's something fresh. This barrier has been broken through. And I want to encourage you, if you have received this, to give thanks. Thankfulness is something that I've been thinking about more and more, and it's so lovely that we had it picked out in our service earlier. We are called to give thanks, and thinking about myself, I just want to give thanks for what God has given me, for health and home, in my case, for my wonderful children, for the church that I'm privileged to be a part of and privileged to help lead. These things are just so glorious and wonderful. And as you think through your own lives, I'm thinking that even if you weren't one of the four who came forward, you're going to have something to give thanks for. But when we look at this passage, when we look at Acts 10, when we see the gospel going through this barrier, this boundary, and reaching out to people like us, then our cause for thanks is just enormous. It's so great. God has reached out to us, Gentile people, assuming that that's most of us, that most of us don't have Jewish roots or Jewish heritage. The barrier was crossed, the boundary was broken, and God has reached out to us in Jesus. If you're not able to give thanks for that, then there is an opportunity just to cross that barrier yourself, because God is reaching out to you this morning. We see in what Peter says in his message, Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus came and died and rose. He is the judge of all, we are reminded. But if we know him, we don't need to fear that judgment, because we have forgiveness of sins in his name. That wonderful message that leads to overflowing thankfulness when we receive it. If you haven't received it, receive it today and give thanks. If you have received it, then just allow God to come to you afresh and rejoice that he has touched your life, even you, even me. The great Welsh preacher of the 20th century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, when he was nearing the end of his life, he read an obituary of someone else, someone who he had come across, the social historian, G.M. Trevelyan. And Trevelyan was known as an extraordinarily good man, and he'd done various things, and yet he had always resisted the call of God on his life. And as Lloyd-Jones was reading this, he found himself weeping, sadness for Trevelyan, but also, as he began to reflect on himself, just tears of gratitude that God had met with him. He didn't deserve it, but God had broken into his life. He'd messed up, but God had forgiven him. He had had a good life, a good ministry. God had given him good opportunities. There was so much to give thanks for. And he just said, why me? The answer, of course, is the immeasurable grace of God, the love that he floods into our lives, the opportunities that he gives us to follow his Son, the Lord Jesus. May we be people, may we be a gathering that is overflowing with thankfulness because of what God has done for us. Rejoice and give thanks because the gospel is for us. Secondly, rejoice that the gospel is for the whole world. The words that Peter says, Christ is the Lord of all, in verse 36, lead us into this. We see here that this is a whole world movement, that God is reaching out to the whole world. And it's so explicit in this passage that God is in this, that God is working, that God is blessing this. You have the angel who comes to Cornelius. You know, that is unusual. There is this incredible vision that Peter has. All these animals, including birds and reptiles. No Jewish man would eat this because it's unclean. But God speaks to him, not once, but three times. The vision is repeated. God is at work. God is in this. God is already preparing Peter. He is at the home of Simon the Tanner, someone who would have worked with animal skins, someone who would have been regarded probably as not very kosher, someone who was a bit unclean. And so God was preparing Peter's heart. And then the message is so well received in fact, that halfway through the message, God breaks in and the Holy Spirit falls. And it's so obvious that God is working savingly in these people's lives. If God were to break in now and there was just that sense of his presence and I had to stop, well, that's fine by me. Unless you indicate that that's happening, I'm going to press on. But even so, it's just a wonderful thing when God comes and Peter is sort of halfway through point two and he's going to go on to say other things, but it's enough and they're ready to embrace the faith and the Holy Spirit comes and all who are there are amazed. This is a gospel for the whole world and these moves that are being made. Peter breaking this cultural barrier for the gospel. It is clear in point after point after point that God is in this. He blesses it with an angel. He blesses it with the power of the Holy Spirit. He blesses it with a vision three times. God is leading and guiding and wonderfully at work. The gospel is for the whole world and God is in this. Sometimes when we're in our small gathering, sometimes when we are the only believer in our workplace, or perhaps the only believer in our family, sometimes when we're running up against opposition for the gospel, we need to remember this, that our God is a missionary God, and all over the world he is working. Some exciting things happening in Leeds in various churches, and that's great. And there are exciting things happening all over the world. Our God is a missionary God, a God over the whole world. And as we think about responding, this is the very final thing, because we are challenged to reach out ourselves. What barriers are we going through for the gospel? What is he calling us? What is all he calling you? What is he calling me to do? And God is in this as we reach out in mission. And so if you do go to another country to share the gospel, God is in this. Acts 10 tells us that it's true. If you cross the room to share the gospel with a work colleague or a friend, to reach out in love, to show the difference that Jesus makes, then God is in that. As a gathering, as we seek to turn ourselves inside out for mission, then God is in that. Acts chapter 10 tells us it's so. As a whole church, as we seek to restructure for mission, God, the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 10, wants us to be a missionary people. Whether it's small ways, whether it's one-to-one ways, whether it's large ways, whether it's breaking through a cultural barrier or the other barriers that we erect between us and others, God is in that as we seek to reach out for the gospel. And we don't need to wait for a vision, because God has given us a vision. We don't need to wait for an angel, because God has spoken through his word. Said I would read a little bit from this. I hope Levi doesn't mind. And even if he does, it's going ahead anyway. And it's great stuff, because when he is considering the call to Japan, he is praying and praying, and he says, I receive no vision, no dream, no voice. Then one day in my daily Bible reading, I read Acts 16, 9 to 10. Paul saw a man of Macedonia calling him to take the gospel there, and the church took that as a call from God to go. I realized then that whilst I didn't have a dream, I did have real-life Japanese people calling me to stay in Japan. Maybe the reason why God wasn't giving me a dream was because I didn't need one. Maybe God was calling me to Japan through his church. God may give you a dream about the people that he wants you to reach. He may give you a vision. He may give you a vision not once, but three times. But actually, we have his mandate anyway. We have his word, which encourages us to break through barriers for the gospel, and the reassurance when we do that, God, who is a missionary God, God who loves people, he is in that. And he is with us. He was with Peter, he was with Cornelius, and he will give us the power and the strength to do this. And so how will we respond? Perhaps you just recognize that God is prompting you in your heart to pray for and reach out to a particular person. Perhaps he's prompting you to offer for some area of service in the life of the gathered community here. Perhaps helping in junior church. Perhaps helping to share the good news with a new generation. Perhaps God is prompting you in some different way. But I am sure that he is prompting all of us and us as a gathered community to say yes to mission. There's one verse in our reading, which is where I want to end up, which is verse 14. And in our reading, Peter, who has received this vision, who's seen the sheep come down, who's seen the unclean animals, who's heard the commands, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat," he says, "Surely not, Lord." In the New Living Translation, it's "no, Lord." It's there in other older translations as well. And as people have said, it's the ultimate contradiction in terms. So encouraging that Peter, filled by the Holy Spirit, obviously anointed, obviously used by God, still gets it wrong. That's a great encouragement to us. Because to say "no, Lord," well, it doesn't make any sense. If Jesus is Lord, and if he's calling us to do something, if he's commanding us to do something, if he is mandating us to move out in mission, then if he's our Lord, then we need to say yes. Final story from a Bible convention a number of years ago. I believe this happened absolutely. It was the Keswick Convention in the Lake District, and there was an appeal that went out for those who would commit to being a missionary people, perhaps overseas, perhaps on their own patch, commit to reaching out to others. And someone came to the speaker afterwards and they said, "I believe that God is calling me. I believe that God is calling me to take specific steps. But I just feel I can't respond. I'm not the right person. I don't have the resources. I don't have the gifts. I know God is calling me, but I'm scared," basically. And what the speaker asks this person to do is to take away their Bible, look at the words "no, Lord," and pray over them and cross one of them out. And he said, "You can't have both there." I'm not encouraging people to go away and cross bits out of the Bible, but you get where the story is going and you get the point of this. That "no, Lord," one of those words has got to go. We've got to give a tick to one of them and we've got to give a cross to another. If Jesus is our Lord and he is calling us, then we have to say yes. If we are saying no, then he is not Lord of every area of our lives. It's a sharp challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge to you and to me, but it's also a gracious invitation to join in this wonderful task, this wonderful life of mission in the power of the Spirit. God is no one's debtor, and as we commit to this, God will pour into our lives abundantly, so much more than we ever sacrifice, so much more than we ever give up. As a pastor, as a people, as a gathering, as a church, when we see the words "no, Lord," may we cross out the "no." And may we embrace Jesus, as Lord of all our lives and Lord of our mission. Let's pause. I'm going to just ask us to respond in our hearts to our God before we sing our final song. Lord, we really do rejoice before you that the good news has come to us, even to Gentiles. Lord, we thank you that you were so clearly in this, and that at every point you gave your seal of approval. Angels, visions, repeated visions, your voice, the Holy Spirit falling in an unmistakable way, the way you were preparing people's hearts. Lord, it's so unmistakable. And we thank you for this wonderful set of signs that the gospel is for us. Lord, we receive and we rejoice, and we pray that we would be a people who reflect your heart. Lord, as the gospel didn't stop at the boundary between Jews and Gentiles, Lord, we pray that the gospel wouldn't stop with us. Help us to share with all that we meet. Help us to be your witnesses. Show us the way. Show us how. And when there are those challenges, and when we are tempted to say in our minds and hearts and maybe out loud, no, Lord, help us to cross out the no and circle the yes and follow wherever you lead. Thank you that that way is life and health and joy and peace. We lift one another to you in Jesus' name.